He spread the pictures before him, and again surveyed them alternately. While he is so occupied, I will tell you, reader, what they are, and first I must premise that they are nothing wonderful. The subjects had indeed risen vividly on my mind. As I saw them with a spiritual eye, before I attempted to embody them, they were striking, but my hand would not second my fancy, and in each case it had wrought out but a pale portrait of the thing I had conceived. These pictures were in watercolours. The first represented clouds, low and livid, rolling over a swollen sea. All the distance was in eclipse, so too was the foreground, or rather the nearest billows, for there was no land. One gleam of light lifted into relief a half-submerged mast, on which sat a cormorant, dark and large, with wings flecked with foam. Its beak held a gold bracelet set with gems, that I had touched with as brilliant tints as my palette could yield, and as glittering distinctness as my pencil could impart. Sinking below the bird and mast, a drowned corpse glanced through the green water. A fair arm was the only limb clearly visible, whence the bracelet had been washed or torn. The second picture contained for foreground only the dim peak of a hill, with grass and some leaves slanting as if by a breeze. Beyond and above spread an expanse of sky, dark blue as at twilight. Rising into the sky was a woman's shape to the bust, portrayed in tints as dusk and soft as I could combine. The dim forehead was crowned with a star. The lineaments below were seen as through the suffusion of vapour. The eyes shone dark and wild. The hair streamed shadowy like a beamless cloud torn by storm or by electric travail. On the neck lay a pale reflection like moonlight. The same faint lustre touched the train of thin clouds from which rose and bowed this vision of the evening star.